There was a real good movie from a few years ago. Some of you may know it. It's kind of a chick flick. If you don't know what that expression means, guys, we can talk to you afterwards. The movie was called You Got Mail. Tom Hanks was one of the stars in the movie. And it was kind of all from as internet and email was just getting started, instant messaging that, you know, you would get a message and it said, come up on your computer, that a little announcement would say that you got mail. We all like to receive news, particularly good news. And I think most everybody likes to get mail. Not bills, not magazines and sales peripherals, and not junk mail. But you go through the mail that you get and you like to be able to open up and get a card that's addressed to you. A personalized card has your name on it. And you open it up and you read it and there's a note in there. And the note usually is a note that'll cheer you up greatly. Good news coming in the midst of bad times. We live in bad times. The U.S. Post Office in the next 2 weeks will be in various ways trying to advertise to us the fact that we need to mail early. Particularly during these Advent days, if we want the package or if we want the envelope to or the card that we're sending to get to someone, that they want us to mail early to ensure its delivery. The post office really would want us to know that in the next few weeks, over 4 billion Christmas cards, not holiday cards, Christmas cards, will be sent in America. And they'll be sent during this Advent season from one person to another, expressing joy and gladness, expressing a good note to people. Well, think about what it is economically for 4 billion Christmas cards to go through the mail. If a card costs $2.50, and some of them I've seen that I paid for were $5.95, some were 99 cents, so I'll just round it off. $2.50 a card. The price of a stamp is 47 cents. If you multiply all of that by $4 billion, you get $11.88 billion is going to be spent just sending Christmas cards in the mail in America in the next few weeks. That's a lot of money. To send a few words of comfort and cheer and encouragement. There's also, during that same time, over LinkedIn and Facebook, and an instant message and email, it'll pop up, you got mail, and you'll open it up and it'll be someone that you know that'll say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year that will say, we love you. We're thinking of you. We wish you the best. What kind of message is worth $11.8 billion, $11.88 billion plus? A message of comfort. We live in troubled times, don't we? We really live in bad times. Sin's going on all around us. It's been a tough election for everybody. In fact, there's some that are trying to open up the election again and have different states recount. And one of the candidates who failed in their attempt to run for president raised more money this week for being able to recount in Wisconsin and a couple other states than they raised in their whole presidential endeavor to run for the White House. It's not over, folks. Keep praying. There's disrespect for our law enforcement officers. I see Naz is here. Pray for Naz and his colleagues every day. They are on the front line and they deserve our respect. They deserve our prayers. Every Sunday we count it a privilege as Terry represents our military to lift up our military personnel from this church that serve around the world. They need our prayers and our respect and our thanks rather than our scorn. Oh, Lord, help us. There's riots that are happening in our street. People that living in mom and dad's basement or getting paid to go out and riot in the streets. And then the one that really chased me, and I mean really chased me, having gone to two different universities, that colleges and universities right now are offering coddling students and by offering them safe rooms to deal with what's going on. And people are wearing diaper pins on their shirts saying that I'm someone that's safe that can baby you and talk to you. People don't need a diaper pin on their shirt. We need more so than a cross around our heart. We need Christ in our life. Our world needs the message that only Jesus can give. He is our hope. He is our help. Israel, in the time that this was written, had paid for sins that they had committed, and they were in the midst of 50-plus years of paying for their sins, and they needed a message of comfort, a message of hope. God broke in the midst of those bad times to let them know that He was sending a hero for them, someone who they needed who would be their leader, someone who they needed who would be their help, someone who they needed would be their hope, and their leader, their defender. Oh, we love heroes. There's times, as maybe growing up as little kids that we played, that we wanted to be the hero. Maybe you did. Maybe times now you still like to be able to be the hero. You like to be able to be the one who comes in and brings the answer. The one who comes in and makes a difference in a situation. You know that you can make a difference in a situation by sometimes just offering a cup of cool water or by sending a card in the mail or sharing a smile and an embrace. Your smile, your embrace, your cup of cool water, your card, your phone call, your text message, maybe the crock pot of food that you take into someone's house, or the bag of groceries that you give them, or inviting them over for a meal, makes all the eternal difference. You're a hero. And they need a hero. When do heroes show up? They don't show up after the peace accord's been signed. They don't show up when the war is over with. They show up when the war is raging. And in the midst of battle, when it's bloody and dirty, it's difficult and it's tight, and we don't know what's going to happen, that's when a true hero shows up. Sometimes they show up with a big shield, other times with big guns, but they always show up with a caring spirit and a can-do attitude. There's a movie that's in the theaters right now that I would recommend that you try to see, Hacksaw Ridge. It's difficult and violent. But it talks about the fact of a former Congressional Medal of Honor winner who was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he went and he rescued over 75 of his colleagues in a battle on Hacksaw Ridge as a medic. He did not carry a gun, but he got the wounded off of the battlefield. He would not leave them there alone to die. Hear me well. Jesus has come. And He does not want to leave you on the battlefield of life to die. He is the hero who's come to pick you up. He's the one that God has sent. His name is Jesus. And the message this morning that's being sent in the Christmas card from heaven is comfort, comfort, O my people. Jesus is coming for you. This morning we'll see that good news happens in the pardon that we receive from Jesus. Good news happens in the promise that we receive from Jesus as our hero. Good news happens in the security that we receive from Jesus and God's holy word. And good news happens from the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He is our pardon. Good news of mercy. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we read in Romans. But the gift of God is forgiveness, is it not? as he forgives us of our sins. In verse 2 of our passage in Isaiah, it's saying, speak tenderly. Her sin has been paid for. Jesus came to pay the price that we could not pay for a debt that he did not owe, to redeem us, to buy us back, to make it possible that he is the bridge, could help us cross to where the Heavenly Father is, that sin had separated us from God. He becomes the one that brings us and God together. God is sending his Son. And his Son pardons us from our sins. His Son is the solution. His Son is the hero. His Son is the one who picks us up on the battlefield that sin has so tried to kill us. America, yes, is in our world and is in difficult times. We've left God. We've chased the gods of Wall Street and Madison Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue and in personal indulgences. We put all our trust in money and stocks and bonds and politicians and backroom deals, and sometimes in ourselves and what we've accumulated. And let me tell you, you can have all the stuff in the world and still be empty. And you can have stuff, and stuff can get in the way. Stuff will take up space. Used to say, Brother Ray, that real revival happened when they cleaned out the pulpit, you know. That's when you knew revival was happening. Well, we got one of these pulpits that don't have shelves in it, so I think we're ready for revival. But in this coming and the work that you're doing and repairing and remodeling the parsonage, and we thank you so much for all that, and in that process, I'm finding out that confession made in all of my life, I've been a stuff accumulator. I want to hold on to it. I got 3 different sizes of wardrobe. Nice suits that I used to be able to wear. Some bigger than what I am now, some smaller. But I don't want to let go of them. Now my wife, she can go in and she's got this way that she can go through things and this is the keep pile, this is the put back pile, this is the giveaway pile. And I'm looking at the things and I don't even know where to start piling stuff. I can't split it into 3s. It's all valuable to me. But you got to let go of stuff. Because stuff will just bog you down. We pay a heavy price for our sins. We pay a heavy price for holding on to the past. We pay a heavy price when we try to hold back from giving ourselves completely to God. In a country that right now is both morally bankrupt and financially bankrupt. I'm not a great mathematician, but if you owe $19 trillion, you're broke. If you owe $19 trillion, you can't fund every kind of charitable program that people are clamoring for. You can't just open up your borders and give money to folks from around the world and say, here you take the money, and we don't take care of the folks at home and we don't take care of our veterans. I was talking to Bill Connolly the other day, and he's been in the process for a while of trying to get hearing aids from the government. He's a veteran in the U.S. Air Force. And made an appointment, and then they told him, Lynn, am I right? They told him, you're on a waiting list, it'll be 3 years. 3 years before you can get to see someone to have them tell you that you need hearing aids and they'll get them for you. Now something's wrong. Something's wrong. Our land's messed up. Our lives are suffering. Our families are suffering. Our society's suffering. Our churches are suffering. Our souls are suffering. We've been guilty of sin and we need to be forgiven. But God has sent the forgiveness. He has sent the forgiver. And in sending the forgiver, he sent his Son. And the good news is that God will forgive our sins. As we turn to him, he's already saying, I forgive us I forgive you. The bomb that he's sending is Jesus. Jesus is our pardon. That's the good news. But Jesus is also the promise of God. God's Christmas message is a good news for us in bad times. It's a news of warning, and it's a promise, the fact that he's coming to us. When people are in distress and cry out to God, Sister Sue, God hears them, and God answers, and he's answered, he sent us Jesus. We need to listen to that message and take warning and heed to the fact that he is the deliverer, and he's come, and he's coming as good news. In the movie Torah, which was a classic that was made in an earlier day about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Right before Pearl Harbor, a new fangled piece of equipment with a new methodology, a new technology was made available. It was called radar. And they put a radar installation on the far island of Hawaiian chain, and it was turned on that morning, and two operators were there at the station, and they saw the blips show up on the radar of the Japanese planes that were coming in towards Honolulu for the bombing run that we would know as Pearl Harbor. Those two guys anxiously got on the phone, and they called a superior who was at another location, and they said, "This is what we see, and we don't understand. It's something big, and it's headed our way." Their officer in charge at another location who could not see the screen said, "Don't worry about it. It's nothing. New technology. Just turn the thing off." So they turned it off. And instead of heeding the warning, hearing the words, "Don't worry about it," led to massive destruction and loss of life. And we entered the war. That's bad news, of not paying attention. But the good news is this morning is God is saying to us, "I've got good news for you. The Comforter has come. The Shepherd has come to care for his sheep. Christ has come, and as we return to him and repent, he will pardon us of our sins." And we find that all the promises of God are wrapped up in Jesus. He is our pardon. He is our promise. But he is also the security that Jesus is our hero, and we find security in God's Word. God's Word will stand forever, will it not? God's Word is stronger, and we see it's stronger than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow, dividing and separating, as we see in the writer to the Hebrews. There is outside of New York City, in about a two-hour drive, a place that's called Iron Mountain. 200 feet down below solid rock has been carved out and built steel and concrete bunker. It's known as one of the safest places on earth. It's even safer than Fort Knox, they say. But I got to tell you something. I can think of two places safer. One, in the arms of Jesus. And two, in the Word of God. In the Word of God, it does not change. It speaks to us of peace. It speaks to us of forgiveness. It speaks to us of a hero who has come to set us free. It speaks to us and helps us to live our life in a way that as we hear it and read it and apply it, accept it, believe it, and obey it, that we will find that it will work in our life, and our lives will be able to work in an ungodly world. God's Word speaks to us in all different kinds of ways. When you look into God's words, you're going to find his presence. In Hebrews 13:5, he says, "I'll never leave you." You're going to find God's protection. In Genesis 15:1, it says, "I am your shield." You're going to find God's power. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, "I'll strengthen thee." You're going to find his provision. In Isaiah 41:10, again, he says, "I'll help thee." You get that? He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. You'll find God's leading in John 10:4. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them." You'll find God's purposes in Jeremiah 20:11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." You'll find God's rest in Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You'll find God's cleansing in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just, and He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You'll find God's goodness in Psalms 84:11. No good thing will He withhold from them that work uprightly. You'll find God's faithfulness in 1 Samuel 12:22. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. You'll find God's guidance in Psalms 25:9. The meek will He guide. And you'll find God's wise plan in Romans 8:28. For all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. You see, God's Word is a great treasure trove. It's a present that He's given us. We find pardon in Jesus. We find promise through Jesus. We find security in Jesus and in the power of God's Word. But we also find hope. On this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, we look at the word hope. God's coming, as you see in verse 11 of our passage this morning. He is like the shepherd who tends towards his flock. No one cares for you like Jesus. The song says He's a friend beyond compare. Meet Him at the throne of mercy. You'll find Him waiting for you there. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. You can put your trust in Him. You can put your hope in Him. You can realize He's your help. And in Him you'll find life. In Him that you'll find hope in the midst of a hopeless situation in a world. You'll find that He's the good shepherd who'll lead you. And He's the shepherd who'll leave the 99 and go looking for you if you're that one who's wandered off. And He'll pick you up out of the thicket when you're dirty and hungry and thirsty. And He'll pick you up and cradle you in His arms and bring you back to Him in His fold. God's Christmas card this morning starts to open up for us. And in it we see the message of hope. He is saying to you, I am your hope. Jesus, the good news that He pardons us from our sins. He's our hero. The good news is that He's the promise of God. He's our hero. The good news is He's the security, and we find security in Christ, and we also find security in God's Word. We also find hope. Hope. People die a lot of times because they have given up on hope. But do you know people are able to live and hold on to life when they got a glimmer of hope? This morning, there's a glimmer of hope there. He's our star. He's our light. He's the crown of righteousness. He's the peace, the Pax Romana. He's the great cloud of witnesses. He's in the midst of it all. He is the one who's come as a Christmas card from God to say, put your hope in Me, for I am your hope. Stand together with me, please. Precious Lord, this morning, oh, how we thank You for Your love. Love that reaches us right where we are. Love that shows that You are our hope. There may be somebody in the sound of my voice this morning that's just discouraged and downtrodden. And rather than being on top of the mountain is on top of them. Might they realize today that You're their hope. And maybe someone in the sound of my voice this morning that Satan's just been working overtime on, or it's been too easily to get diverted with all the stuff that's going on around us. And today we don't look at the stuff, we don't look at the news. We look at the one who is the good news. Good news. Comfort, comfort, oh my people. I'm sending you Jesus. And Jesus has come. Lord, may we look into his eyes and see your love. And all of God's people said, amen, and God bless you. Would you share his love with one another? Hope to see you tonight.